Good morning. It's great to be here. This is another day that the Lord has made, and we have every reason to rejoice and be glad in it. Just before you sit, will you please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 9. Peter is in the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament. From verse 3, if you're joining us online, we are reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God. And here at Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that since the Bible is the word of God, and that we are God's children, then the Bible is God's word. Is God's word for us. Thank you so much. You may sit. For those of you that are joining us today for the first time, let me just remind you that we are here to glorify our Savior Jesus Christ, to equip believers, to evangelize the lost, and to serve the needy. We are here to connect with God and with one another. And with that, let me extend my welcome to all of you that are joining us today. I see new faces. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want to assure you that we are glad you are here. And we can make that place, that seat you are occupying right now, can be yours. If you allow us, we will make sure we put your name on it, so that next time you come, you don't have to look any farther. The purpose of our message today, is not children. Children are allowed to to go to their children's church. Sorry for that. I've been away. I've even forgotten how things run here. The purpose of our message today is to remind us that regardless of what happens in our life, regardless of what happens around us, God is still on the throne. There's a song that we used to sing in Sunday school. It said, he's got the whole world on his hands, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, you guys went to Sunday school too. He is in control. You know, it may feel like things are not going your way. You may have experienced some disappointments. I know Most of us are paining, are grieving because of what is happening to this country. But I want you to know that regardless of all that is happening, God is in control. He knows what he's doing. And you can trust him. You can trust him. You can rely on him. He is in control and he is faithful. Peter is writing to Christians who are scattered all over the world, and they were feeling the same thing that you and I might be feeling today. It felt like God had left them alone to suffer, and they were going through other difficulties, financial difficulties. They were separated from their families, from their nation, from their dreams and their businesses. They were grieving. And Peter is writing to them, first reminding them that they belong to God, and then as an encouragement, letting them know that everything that you are going through is not there to put you down. And also letting them know that in their suffering, in their grief, they can still rejoice. They can rejoice because the kind of joy that we enjoy as Christians is not determined by circumstances. It's the kind of joy that is determined by the one who lives in us. And therefore, I feel like this is the kind of message that you and I need today. For those of you that have been wondering, what is happening to my country? Where is the country that I loved, the great American country that I enjoyed, that I was proud of? What has happened to it? And some of us are looking into the future and we just can't imagine what's going to happen. Well, for your information, God is there also. He is in the future. Let me just share with you four things that Peter is pointing on here, why we can rejoice in grief. He says, number one, you have been born into a living hope. Says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. The first reason we need to realize that we can rejoice in grief is because we have been born into a living hope, not a dead hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Number two, we have been born into an eternal inheritance. Eternal inheritance in verse 4. And he says that this inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. We have been born into a living hope, into an eternal inheritance. And number three, he says we are shielded by God's power through faith. Let me just remind you that you don't keep yourself. It is God's power that keeps you. You may take all the precautions that you can take, but if God withdraws his power from you, you are doomed. You may be the best Christian that has ever been, but if God withdraws his power from you, you are nothing. And it's important for us to realize that it is God who keeps us, because that will keep us relying on him. It is a living hope, it is an eternal inheritance, and we are kept by God's power. I'm so glad that I'm kept by God's power because I know I cannot keep myself. I have tried before and failed. Number four, we greatly rejoice even when we are grieving. He says in verse 6, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. All kinds of trials. In all kinds of trials, Christians can still rejoice. Because Christians realize that the difficulties they experience are just there for a while, but the joy that I have is eternal, is everlasting. Nothing that we go through here is permanent. Peter is saying here that in this world, we will experience seasons of pain, seasons of grief, and despair. In this world, you will be disappointed. You will be discouraged. You will face situations that will bring fear to your life. He's saying that in this world, we will be recipients of persecutions. Some of us will suffer because of our faith. But he's also telling us that regardless of all that, you can still rejoice. You can still rejoice. You know why? Because every challenge that you and I face is an opportunity to praise the Lord. Paul and Silas realized that when they were in prison. It is instead of them sitting there crying, feeling sorry for themselves, and hoping that maybe God will show up, they began to praise him. And the other prisoners were listening. They could hear these prisoners praising the Lord. These are people that realized that even though we are in chain, our joy is free. They praised the Lord. Difficulties in our lives are opportunities to praise the Lord, but they're also opportunities to point people to Christ. See, these Israelites that are scattered, these God's people that are scattered, Peter is writing to them. He's telling them that you are still God's children wherever you are, and God can still be glorified in your life. And when you realize that, you are going to use the opportunities that you get to point people to Christ. When you realize that you have a living hope, when you realize that you have eternal inheritance, when you realize that you are kept by God's power, it doesn't matter what you are going through, you can still be a tool that God can use. Christians should be the one that are giving people hope today. The problem is, Christians have been caught up in these politics. They have forgotten who they are. They have forgotten that they are followers of Christ. And because of that, they are failing to use the opportunities that they have to point people to Christ. Every challenge we face is an opportunity to praise God, it is an opportunity to point people to Christ, and it is an opportunity to prove our faith. It is a test of our faith, the genuineness of our faith. I think the coronavirus has given us that opportunity. Will you fear God or will you fear the pandemic? Is your faith in God or is your faith on a vaccine? This should not stop you from taking all the necessary measures that should be taken, but all those measures should not take your eyes from the Lord. Are you looking at what is happening in this country and you're saying, my future is doomed? Or are you looking at what is happening and then looking at God and then saying what is impossible to man is possible with God? I'm going to trust God on this. It is a test of our faith. Every challenge presents us a test. How genuine are we in our faith? There are moments in my life that I know that I failed to trust in God, that I allowed fear to overtake my thinking and my emotions, that I responded as if I wasn't a Christian. There's a day my wife was away. We didn't have kids then. And I was sleeping alone in the house. I don't like being alone in the house. And at night I had some noises. And my mind told me that you are being attacked. In very few minutes, they're going to break the door and they're going to cut you into pieces. All this was going on in my mind. I was alone. I just heard some noises and I began to cry. And I wasn't crying to the Lord for help. I was crying that I was going to die. So alone in the house, I'm crying, and I thought that wasn't enough. So I went under the bed, and I stayed there, and I'm crying there. This is my end. And I'm like, I didn't want to die this way, but I know it's going to happen. And nothing happened. I tortured myself. There are many moments in our lives that we have responded as though God does not exist. We have faced a test of our faith, and instead of turning to God so he can help us see clearly what we are going through, so that he can help us respond in a way that glorifies him, in a way that honors his name, in a way that will point people to him, we responded as if he wasn't there. Don't be surprised when this happens to you. It happened even to some of the great prophets in the Bible. Elijah faced a situation like that. One day he was praying to the Lord and fire came from heaven and it consumed the sacrifices and he killed the prophets of Baal and he glorified God and everyone praised the Lord with him. The next day, when Jezebel said that I'm going to do to you what you did to my prophets, Elijah woke up early in the morning and he began to run for his life. And he went and lied down in a desert and he called upon God to take his life. He said, "It's enough, Lord, please take my life." Elijah, the great prophet who prayed and rain came from heaven, the great prophet who prayed and fire came from heaven, he was now praying to die. He is now responding as if God does not exist, as if he's powerless. We have been there. Some of us are still there. Some of us are angry. They wish they could do something, but they know they can't. Some of us, even our prayers are not the kind of prayers that we should be praying because we are so caught up with what is happening. Some of us are going through different kind of challenges, but they are also affecting our faith. We are in the place, in a situation that forces us to respond as if God does not exist. As a Christian, and I think this is also what Peter is trying to say to these people, as a Christian, you should know that grief increases the need for hope. Grief puts us in a situation that makes us yearn for something that will give us hope, something that will tell us, assure us so that all is not lost, something that tells us that this is not the end. Grief increases the need for hope. The greater the grief, the greater the need for the living hope. And this hope is not just it's not wishful thinking. I'm not talking about you sitting on your rocking chair and telling yourself, tomorrow I hope it doesn't snow so that I can go out and ride my bike. I'm not just talking about something you are wishing to see happen. For Christians, this hope is active hope. It is a reality. It is present. It's something that we look forward to, but it's also something that we experience. Do you know why? Because Jesus is our living hope. Jesus is our living hope. You can forget everything else that I have said and just take that with you. You can forget everything else and just write that somewhere. If you're planning to have a tattoo, have that as your tattoo. Jesus is my living hope. Have it as your bumper sticker. Put it somewhere to remind you. Print it out and share it. If you tweet, that's something that you can tweet. Jesus is our living hope. We experience him as we wait for him. The hope that Christians have is a reality. It's an active reality. It's not something that we just think about. He's our hope in the future. He's our hope in the present. Peter says here, he says in verse 8, though you have not seen him, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. He's telling them this is where everything starts and everything stops. I have not seen him, but I know him. I love him. I don't see him now, but I believe in him. And as a Christian, that is something that should give you strength and comfort. Even for those of us that are lonely, that is something that should remind you that I believe in this Jesus, and this Jesus is my living hope. Our hope is not in science. There are churches that haven't opened because they are waiting for the vaccine to be available for everyone. And that's okay. That's their decision. That's okay. But as Christians, our hope is not in science. In fact, the CEO of Moderna, COVID-19 vaccine maker, he said this last Wednesday. He said, we are going to live with this virus forever. That's what he said. He said, I think we are going to live with this virus forever. Now, if that is true, then life should not stop. Life should not stop because it doesn't change anything. that doesn't make us stupid. It makes us wise. We realize this is a challenge that we will continue to face, and we have to find a way of living with it, of dealing with it. Life has to go on. Last week, my family and I were in quarantine because my son was exposed at school. It was a good time for us to be at home as a family, you know. But we were also thinking, what could happen? What if this happened? So every day I would wake up and look at my son and just feel his temperature. We are noticing when he sneezes, we're all, oh, maybe this is the first symptom. it is. But we were very comfortable. We were just hoping. We were prepared for whatever was going to happen. And of course, on Wednesday, he tested negative, him and I. But you as a Christian have a choice. Are you going to fear God, or are you going to fear something else or someone else? That is a choice that no one can make for you. That is a choice that you can make. You put on your mask, but you are telling yourself, even though I am putting on this mask, I know that only God can protect me. Our hope is not in science. Our hope is not on politicians. There are people that feel like God was voted out. God was not voted out because God was not on the ballot. God can never be voted out. God is in control. I hear people saying, oh, you know, President Trump was being used by God. Now, if God can use President Trump, he can use President Biden. Because the issue is not the person who is being used. The issue is the person who is using. The power is not with the person that is being used. The power is with the person who is doing the using. And he can choose to use anyone else. It's not up to us to decide whom God is going to use. It's up to God. Because only God knows what he wants to accomplish. Now, as painful and as disappointing that might have been for those of us that were had a preferred candidate, that's the nature of elections. Someone wins and someone loses. I'm not saying that the elections were fair. I'm not saying any of that. I am saying that regardless of the outcome, God is still there. And God, no one will stop God from doing what he wants to do in this country and in this world. No one. So God's purposes will still be accomplished regardless of who is in power. Before the elections, you remember I told you that we are safer with Jesus than with anyone else? Do you remember me sharing here that I endorse Jesus Christ? Well, I still endorse him. I still believe that he is in control. I have seen it in the past, and I know I can trust this God for our future and for the future of this nation. When Jesus was crucified, when he was put on the cross and he was nailed, his disciples and his followers felt helpless. they could see the pain that he was going through, and it seemed like there was nothing that he could do. They felt helpless. They were crying. Some of them were hiding themselves for fear of attack. And then on that cross, he died. And they felt hopeless. Their hero, their savior, the one whom was giving them hope, the person that they were following, died on that cross, and all their hopes died with him. And they went back to their homes, heads down, ashamed, fearful. They locked themselves in. And then Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. And everything was quiet. Some of them probably began to ask themselves, did we believe in a lie? What were we thinking when we were following him, leaving everything that we had? Some of them were wondering, what's going to happen to our lives now? Probably they're going to come for us. They were living in fear. Hopeless, helpless, in despair. But then on the third day, hope came alive. Da-dang! And their grief turned to joy. You know, even in death, God is at work. Sometimes death makes us feel as if everything has come to a standstill. But even in death, God is at work. Even in your pain, in your grief, in your disappointment, in your discouragement, God is at work. In your suffering, God is at work. And as a Christian, we should keep on reminding ourselves that Jesus is our living hope, because if Jesus is not our living hope, then we believe a lie. If Jesus is not my living hope, then my preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Jesus is not our living hope, then we are the most miserable people. We should find something else to do. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But if Jesus is our living hope, in sickness and in health, then there are four things I want to give to you, and I will be done here. If Jesus is our living hope, number one, then we have something that can never be taken away. No one can take it from you. We Christians, when you read social media, you hear what people are saying. It's like, this is the end. And by the way, what is it with Americans? When things don't happen the way you expect, it's suddenly the end of the world. It's like God is so concerned with this one country that when things are going south, Jesus is coming. You read social media, it's like, someone has heard from God that the rapture is going to happen any minute now. Jesus is coming. All this that is. No! I'm not saying Jesus is not coming. I'm not saying the rapture will not happen. But I'm saying you are reading the wrong signs. Do you know there are other parts of the world that people are going through difficulties day in, day out? And they are waiting for Jesus to come. We are so used into having it our way that when it doesn't happen, we think God has to be doing something to take us out of here. No, you need to go through it so that your faith can be tested and so that you can learn to rejoice in pain and in grief and in disappointment. We need to go through it so that we can learn to praise God and to point people to Christ. We need to go through it so that we can get to a point where we totally and fully rely on God. We have something that can never be taken away. We have the living hope, Christ in us. They can stop you from sharing your opinions, from sharing your faith. They can stop you from doing that, but they cannot take away the living hope that you have. And that will mean even when they stop you, you will keep on going. Because we have the living hope. Number two, if Jesus is our living hope, then God will use our difficulties to strengthen our faith. Every difficulty we experience is a training ground. It's there to make us better. Okay, for those of you that have been going to gym, you know this. People don't go to gym to share stories. You go to gym to work out, and it's not enjoyable. It's painful. The first time I went to gym, I did not lift anything. I didn't do anything. I was just looking at people. And I saw in their faces, some of them were almost crying, just, and I said, I did not sign up for this. I'm not going to join these crying people here. And I left until I realized that's what happens in the gyms. But the end result is always enjoyable. The end result is always something that you celebrate. It's like sitting an exam. It's not interesting. It's painful, it's frustrating, especially if you don't know the answers. And when you are done with the exam and when you realize that you have passed the exam, you find yourself smiling. You enjoy the process because you can see the product. Our suffering gives God an opportunity to strengthen our faith. And when you're going through it, you can rejoice because you know that it is making you better. That you will come out on the other side with an experience that God can use to help someone else. People that have gone through difficulties, when they speak, you want to listen to them. You want to hear what they are saying because they have an experience. People that haven't gone through any difficulties don't inspire me, they intimidate me. Because they are telling you things that they have never experienced. When I listen to some of us here and the experiences that you have gone through, the pain, the difficulty, the disappointment, the discouragement, and I can still see you smile, that inspires me. It strengthens me. It helps me to realize that I can go through this and come out on the other side as well. But you You cannot have that testimony if you never went through the test. The difficulties that we face are used by God to strengthen our faith. Number three, if Jesus is our living hope, then we can wait patiently on him. We can wait patiently on him. I am hoping and waiting for Jesus to come. But I know as I wait, he has some work for me to do. And as I wait, I am doing what he wants me to do, what I know he has called me to do. So I know he will come at his time. I cannot make him come. If I could, I would have done it before the beginning of this year. Or maybe be immediately when the coronavirus came. I would have done it at my own time. But I know that's not up to me. It's up to him. My responsibility is to remain faithful to his call as I wait for his coming. And that is your responsibility as well. Stop crying out, when will Jesus come? And begin doing what he wants you to do as you wait. If Jesus is our living hope, we are going to wait patiently on him. One day he will come for us. One day he will deliver us, and we will not be in this world anymore. We will be enjoying life with him in heaven, and our neighbors will be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the angels will be there as well. We will have a new address. That will be our final salvation, because we will be saved from the presence of sin, and that will be the result of our faith. We know how the end looks like, guys. We can wait patiently on Jesus. Number four, the last one, this is a good one. If Jesus is our living hope, then our willingness, the key word there is willingness, to endure difficulties says a lot about our trust in the Lord. If Jesus is our living hope, then our willingness to endure difficulties says a lot about our trust in the Lord. When you realize everything that I have talked about, that Jesus is our living hope and that God uses our difficulties to strengthen our faith, and that every challenge is an opportunity to praise God, to point people to Christ. Every challenge gives God an opportunity to make us better people. When you realize that, then you'll also realize that how we respond to these challenges, to these difficulties, says a lot about our faith. Do we respond as people that believe in a God of possibilities? Or do we respond as people that believe in a God who cannot do anything? Do we respond as people that believe in a living God, or as people that believe in a dead God? We have a living hope, Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I can sleep good tonight, because I know that my hope is alive. That doesn't mean that everything will go on the way I want. That doesn't mean that I will not get sick, that I will not turn and feel pain on my back. It doesn't mean that I will not be disappointed or discouraged. It means that regardless of all that, I can still turn to the one who is able to number the stars of heaven. I can still turn to the one who feeds the sparrow. I can still turn to the one who died and rose again. I can still turn to the one who saved me and forgave me and made me a child of God. I can still turn to him and it will be all right. Because he is in control. For the sake of our church, for the sake of our community, and for the sake of our nation, I want you to join me in saying this prayer from Daniel chapter 9. I want you to pray with me. Pray from your heart. If you want to pray silently, you can do so, but I would prefer that you say it loud so that the people that are joining us online and the people that will listen to this message will hear your voice as well. I will be reading the prayer and you will be saying it after me. So you don't read it from your Bible, because I have changed some things. But it comes from Daniel chapter 9. You can read it at your own time. Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our leaders. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame because of our unfaithfulness to you. Our leaders and we are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. Lord, our God, you are merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against you. Please, Lord, hear our prayers. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your people. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, you are our living hope. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may everyone say, Amen. Amen.